truly need the Lord again this morning. And I want to point us in our minds, in our faith, toward this strong high tower. He is still God, and He's still on His throne. I have some thoughts I want to share with you this morning that I hope this morning that again we can turn away from things that we don't really understand, and that's going to happen in life. And the Lord has helped people throughout history in difficult places. There have been people caught in horrible places they didn't know how to get out of. For years was in those places, and the Lord sustained them in those times. Heard some of a story of a man, I believe his name was Richard Warmbrandt or something like that. Probably didn't pronounce that well. But he was a man that actually grew up being an atheist. And he married a young woman who also had that persuasion. They just were very materialistic minded. But the Lord got hold of his heart and changed him, and he was dramatically converted. And then he, in the face of strong opposition, people who said, if you won't be quiet, we're going to put you in prison. He still proclaimed it. This is still right, he said. And they tested him. They put him in prison. Wasn't for a week. It was for years. His residence was under the palace in Czechoslovakia, the ruler's palace over there, that Nikolai Ceausescu, I think, was his name. And he built this big, they were atheists. There was an atheist nation. But he was there in total darkness for years. Not just total darkness, they deprived him of sound. The people that even came to check on him had to wear soft socks, so they deprived him of sound. And they found him praying. They found this man faithful throughout the years. They tried torture in various forms. For years, this man endured that. Told him his family was gone. Told him he had no hope. But he kept clinging to this rock, this high tower that he ran into and was safe. They stretched and tortured his body. But the man came out. The Lord walked him out of there. There was one of the guards that was amazed that this man was able to be faithful through such a time. And the man began to realize, this man's got something that I must need. And he came to the Lord. In the middle of this dark place, he led somebody to the Lord. And not only him, there was others that he began to be able to associate with eventually. And he began to lead them to the Lord. And this man that he led to the Lord was in charge of. He gave a list of people that were supposed to be released from incarceration. And this one day he just put Brother Richard Warmbrand's name down on the same list. And the man who was supposed to okay it, he just stamped, kind of rubber stamped everything. So he signed okay, and the man, Richard Warmbrand, walked out a free man. And he, do you think he kept his head down and said, I think I'm going to be quiet? He went right on bravely, boldly preaching the fact that there is a Savior who saves. That's still the message the Lord wants you and I to have. And today, I want you and I to take courage from so many in our past. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who have went through difficult places and found the Lord to be faithful and true. And He's going to be faithful and true in the day that we live in today.
I will try to remind us. Here's a part of a song that came to my mind today, and I want to share part of this with you. It's a verse out of the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." You know, remember that song? "Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And this is a verse now I want you to listen to. "Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, and with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness. We thank the Lord this morning for that faithfulness. I think that I have some notes on the phone that is on my... Could you bring me that one right there? Isn't it something how this new technology gets us in trouble once in a while? You know, a good old pencil and pen would still work pretty good sometimes. I would like for us to turn to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And we have a story here. You know, I want you to believe this when I tell you that God always has our best interest at heart. We have a story here of a man that the Lord asked to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice. And I believe if you would have asked him that day if this seemed to be Lord having his best interest at heart, he probably would have not understood it at all. Are we always going to understand every moment that we're going through? I'll just have to confess to you, there have been moments in my life that I wasn't sure, didn't know what the Lord was doing. But in those times, God help us to learn to say, "Thy will be done. I will leave my hand in yours. I accept your guidance in my life." Because we need to firmly lay hold on this fact, this truth, that the Lord does have our best interest at heart. He loves us, His dear children. Over here in Genesis, the 22nd chapter is where we want to be. And I want to start here with the 8th verse. The story already, you know in your mind, where the Lord had asked Abraham to take his son, thy son Isaac, and go sacrifice him on this mountain. And he prepared everything he knew how to do. He went, he took his son, and he began to move up this mountain. And I don't believe it was happy steps. There's probably contemplative and head perhaps bowed in prayer and wondering, "Lord, what are we going to do?" But I believe he crossed some of these questions in his mind. As he went on, the devil was always probably there trying to tell him, "You can turn around anytime. You can go back down this mountain. You don't have to go through with this." But there was something. He had a resolve, a determination to follow God, what the Lord had told. He believed God. That's so important for us, to keep our trust, our belief, our confidence in God. Even though the route that seems to be before us, we don't understand, we don't see the end of it. But we need to trust God that His way is best, though human wisdom, a fairer way may seem to show. And his brother Abraham, I believe, I can't testify wholly for him, but I know if I was in his shoes, if I'd have been walking my son up this mountain to offer him as a sacrifice, I believe my head would have been down. I'd have been saying, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to do my best. I'm obeying you the best I know how. But oh, Lord, how is this going to end up, Lord?" And he came to a place somewhere on this route that he came, the Lord received, gave him a certain amount of assurance and peace. We find, let's read here in the 8th verse, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide." That little term, I hope we can get a hold of. You don't get anything else in this message this morning. I hope you can get a hold of this fact that God will provide. He has provided for our salvation. Amen. He has provided for us in so many ways. And when we begin to feel like that we're at the end of our provision, the Father's own giving has only begun. We haven't exhausted the store of His resources. The God who loves us and cares about the steps that we take in our future and our end of our eternal life. God is interested in taking us a route that will lead us surely, without doubt, without hesitation. He wants to bring us in a path that will lead us with purpose to the eternal home in heaven. And God wants us to learn to yield and to be willing. Yes, we pray our prayers. Yes, we earnestly seek His face. That's part of our job. Oh, another part of our job is to lay our hands in Him and trust Him. Trust Him. Here, in that 8th verse, Abraham said, "My son," and he said this in response to, in the 7th verse, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," he said, "here am I. Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Where is this? That doesn't make sense. I like the fact that Abraham was willing and able, really, able to say, when his son asked him the question, "Father," he said, "here am I." Dear ones, sometimes the Lord has a special place for us. And he couldn't have said that if he wouldn't have still been walking up that mountain. It was a difficult place. But he was able on the mountain to go sacrifice his son. His son asked him a question. He was able to say, "Here I am." I believe when the Lord sometimes comes by to see where we are. And I want to ask us this morning, if the Lord would be coming by to ask you where you are you still able to say, "I'm right here, Lord. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm still right, at best I know how. I'm right where you want me to be. I'm doing my best, Lord. And I know I'm human. I sometimes make mistakes, but Lord, I believe I've heard your voice. And I'm not going to move from where I've heard your voice. And I'm not going to move until you tell me to. I'm standing right here, Lord. Here I am." And then he was able to say, "The Lord will provide." He couldn't tell the details because he didn't know the details. But his faith was, "The Lord will provide."
Brother Allen, that son was not a baby.
No.
He was about 32 years old. So they had a relationship.
Yeah.
That would make it even harder by far.
It was difficult. It was extremely difficult. But we realize that this is the one who we call Father of the Faithful. This is the Father of our faith. And this is a man that here in the depth of this trial, he still stood there. Oh, I look up to people. We recognize people around us, this cloud of witnesses of people that we have around us who have went through hard places. Places they didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow, but they stood there because they knew God was there. This was the will of God. And they yielded themselves. Which reminds me of, remember the three Hebrew children? And you remember after the Lord delivered them, you remember the king reminding about these men who have yielded their bodies. They put themselves in peril, unwilling to step out of the will of God. They were willing to yield themselves to change the king's mind.
That's right.
And the Lord did it. The Lord help us to yield ourselves also in this manner. On down here, in the 9th verse, "And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the altar and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He went all the way, folks. His faith was still there. Oh, I tell you, it had been difficult for me, I believe. And the angel of the Lord called on unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, again, here am I. I'm right here, Lord. If he wouldn't have been there, he couldn't have heard the voice of the Lord. Oh, it means something for us, dear ones, to be where we can hear the voice of the Lord. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him upon the burnt for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The Lord will provide. The Lord has provided for you and I. The Lord has provided with his very son. The Lord himself provided his son in our stead. He provided, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now I want to move over into the New Testament. Knowing that the Lord will provide, I want us to understand that the Lord loves us dearly. I want us to recognize the very character of our Heavenly Father and His Son. He is not a tyrant. He doesn't take pleasure in torturing people. He doesn't take pleasure in making our lives difficult just for difficult's sake. He is interested, if he allows difficulty to come our way, he has a purpose for our good. And sometimes life and its difficulty, sometimes we just need to blame some of these difficulties where it belongs. Some of it just simply because of sin and the devil. When you blame him for it, don't blame God for all of this. But I can tell you, in whatever difficulty we face, the Lord is able to turn it for good. Remember the testimony of Joseph to his brothers over there when his brothers came to Egypt? And he told him, he said, you meant it one way. You had evil in your heart. Your purpose was for my destruction. But that wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose was for good. And God's able to bring good things out of bad things, what we consider to be bad things. God's able to turn that for our good. So I want us to recognize, when we think of God, we need to think of God as that God is love. That's the core of who He is. Therefore, everything He does to us and for us and through us is out of that very purpose of Him being love. It's this impulse, it's not an emotion, it's just it's a characteristic of God. He is love. Amen. And that's what He's motivated through. Matthew, the 14th chapter, and we want to see something here. This is a story about Jesus when He walked here on this earth, and He was preaching and teaching, and people were hearing what He had to say, and they collected around Him, and His words seemed to feed down deep in their soul. It seemed to excite things inside them that this they knew it was truth. They knew it was right. And so they began to collect around Him. That it was feeding their souls. It excited something down inside. And so as these people gathered around, sometimes they didn't always think about, they just stayed there past noon. They stayed there all day. And people need to feed, need to have something to eat. Well, Over here in Matthew, the 14th chapter, in the 13th verse here, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard, therefore, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with love, compassion toward them. And he healed their sick.
Yeah.
That's what he did. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food, some victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not go away. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And the disciples said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we have. The need is great. These folks are hungry. They've been here all day. And you blessed them. It's been a wonderful day. I mean, but the fact is, they're hungry."
Yeah.
And he said, "Bring them hither to me." I hope today that we can hear the sweet and tender voice of the Lord as he looks on our troubles today, as he looks on our needs. When he looks at us in kindness, he had compassion on the people. They were needy people. He recognized they were hungry, just hungry. And he had compassion on us. We have some great needs among us. And I want you to know that the Lord looks on that with compassion. He's motivated out of love. And he said, "You don't need to go anywhere else." So many times we get anxious at these moments and we begin to say, "Surely we've got to do something." And Jesus says, "No, you don't. Come to me. Come to me." The will of God is going to be the best thing that'll ever happen to us.
Amen.
This comes from one who cares and loves and wants to take us to heaven. Folks, it's not a bad place to go. And sometimes through affliction, the Lord takes us to heaven. Sometimes he heals affliction. I've seen it many times. I've had healings myself. So our faith should be strong in the Lord, no matter which way he chooses to take us. He wants to take us to heaven eventually. And I want to have a great meeting. I want all of you, I want all of us to be around that throne someday up there on the other side. Talking to somebody this morning was talking about the difficulties they were facing. And they said, "Well, you know, this whole world might just be coming to the end before very long." And that might be so.
Amen.
That is part of the message that God gives his church to share, that we're racing, we're moving rapidly toward eternity. Be ready to meet God. But oh, have you ever thought what it might be? All these wonderful innocent children and people who are ready to go. If the Lord would call us into eternity, we can just take everybody. We're just going up there. The singing's going to be fantastic. The relationship, we're going to be bowing before the very one who died for our sins. And we can, if you ever wonder what it would be like to reach out and grab those hands. I don't know if we're going to have hands over there, but I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him. He's been touching me a lot.
Amen.
This one who cares, bring them to me. Bring them to me. And this morning, part of my message that I really want us to get a hold of, the different points. One of them I really want us to get a hold of is that God is love. He hasn't abandoned us. He still loves us today. No matter where we find ourselves today, God loves us. And he's ordering our steps. And he cares about where we are. He looks on us with compassion.
And then he says, and I hope we get this one too, when we have people in need, bring them to me. For the sin-sick soul, bring them to me. For the physically ill, the hungry. That's what these people were physically in need. They were hungry people. He said, bring them to me. The man sick of a palsy, the withered hand people, the people who were blind, the people who didn't know how they were caught in the act of, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Here today, I'm not ashamed at all to take any of you to our Lord. I'm happy to bring our brothers and sisters to the Lord. We're going to bring you when part of our prayer and fasting today is especially for the physical needs. But not only the physical needs, we have burdens for people that are lost. We pray for them. But here this morning, we're going to open the altars for opportunity to come down and pray for our physical needs. And you remember the testimony that was shared last night about Brother Earl Benson? How we were just praying, earnestly praying here the other night before last, right down here at this altar, praying that the Lord would intercede. We'd been over there and seeing his body stiffen and hear him crying out when the spasm was so wrecking his body and the pain that he was going through. Oh Lord, is crying out to the Lord. And it hurts you to see somebody who have compassion on him. So it causes us to have a little bit more earnestness in our prayer. We're praying here, Lord, give him relief. You know what? The Lord did that.
Amen.
The Lord did that. He's still alive. He's no longer in the grave. He came out to heal, save, and deliver. He came out of that grave to minister to our needs. And he says still today, as an alive, loving, heavenly Father, as our Savior, he stands before people like you and I. And we find that we get to the end, the frustrated places in our lives. We get to the end of our hopes almost. And Jesus says, bring them to me. Come to me. And I want to encourage us. You know, this is one of the parables about feeding the 5,000, feeding the multitude. This is one of the few parables that was found in every one of the Gospels. There's very few of the parables. It's not a parable. The accounts. Forgive me, I didn't mean that. Parables is a story with a good meaning. But this was a true account. It's not a parable. I want to make that very clear. This happened. They saw Jesus start taking this bread. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And he kept breaking. And he kept feeding. I'd have loved to have seen that. I believe it's so. And I believe that same one who's able to break the bread to you and I, that one who did it back then is able to do it for us here today. And our faith is in him. And I want to encourage us that we this morning hear the voice of the Lord that says, bring them to me. I believe I want to stop there. There's more scriptures I have written down, but I believe that's what I want. I believe that's what the Lord wants you to get a hold of this morning. That he is interested in you and I placing purposefully our whole selves in his hand. And knowing that we're putting ourselves in the hands of one who cares deeply for us. And he looks on us with compassion and he says, bring them to me. And he's able to meet our needs this morning. So perhaps as we can stand and begin singing some songs, and if you have some special needs you want to bring to the Lord this morning, come and we will earnestly pray with you that the Lord will move and bless his people this morning.